Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Hallelujah. All the master makes is masterpieces. Just keep your hands, keep your life in the hands of the master. And everything's going to turn out to be just a masterpiece. Glory to God. You know, you see some of these works of art, you know, in some of these museums, what have you, art galleries. And, you know, you look at some of it and you think, what in the world is that? If you know what I'm talking about. You know, it's just colors and just stuff just slapped all over the place on that canvas. And you just look at that. And then you look at the price tag. Thousands and thousands of dollars, and people actually buy it. So, you know, apparently there's some value there that a lot of people, the average person, can't see, that trained eyes can see. And friend, I got news for you. There are those that have spiritual discernment and can recognize the masterpiece that you are in Christ Jesus and the wonderful things that He is doing with your life. And your life might look like a mess. You know, your life might look like a mess, man. Just blotches of all kinds of, just a big blotch here, a big blotch there. Slime here, but oh, man. Those with a trained eye of discernment can look in the mirror and say, glory to God. God is doing a new thing. God's doing an awesome thing. God's doing a fresh and mighty thing with my life. Hallelujah. And then bless God, throughout all eternity, you'll be hung up in the gallery of heaven. The art gallery of heaven. And people will just marvel and wonder at your life and think, what? Wow. What God did with you. Praise God. I didn't see it while He was working on it, but now I see it. Hallelujah. Well, that's cute and funny, but it's also true. Amen. That's exactly what the Spirit of God is saying. That's exactly what He's doing with us. We are masterpieces in progress. He is working. The Master is working on us. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're something beautiful to behold in the eyes of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So you need to start liking yourself. You need to start liking yourself. Start liking and appreciating what God is doing in your life. Stop despising your life. Don't despise your life. Be excited to be alive in God and to have what you have and know that what He's doing is great and wonderful. Amen. Talk big about your life because it's a big deal to God. And if it's a big deal to God, who cares if men don't see it? Bless God. God sees it. God sees you. God cares about you. God loves you. God's excited about you. And all He wants us to do is just stay in the boat. Just stay on the campus, man. Just stay in position. Just let Him work. Let him work it out for you. He's working it out. You don't have to try to figure it all out. Just know God's working it all out. He's working out my life, and it's wonderful. That's what faith says. Faith says, I just believe it's wonderful. It might look like a mess now, but bless God, it's just wonderful. Bless God. And it's getting better all the time. It's getting beautifuler all the time. Getting better and better all the time. Mm-mm-mm. Somebody say, I'm getting sweeter as the days go by. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You are a big deal. Be excited about you. It's okay to be excited about you. We're excited about God, but you need to be excited about you because that's who God's excited about. There's been times, you know, I've gone worshiping God and things like that, and then He bring, you know, like one time I was just worshiping God in my apartment out in Oklahoma, and I just bowed down. I actually was reading the word, and I saw a Mary came in, and she hung on to Jesus' feet and was anointing his feet. And I just thought about it. I thought, wow, what an awesome thing. Just your feet, Jesus. Just to be at your feet and to touch your feet. And I just was thinking about it, talking to him about it as I was just sitting there worshiping him. And I did that for just a little bit, and then I sat back and I opened up the Bible to another place, just opened it up kind of randomly, looked at it, and said, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel and bring glad tidings of good things. And I thought, now that's just something else. Here I am making a fuss about his feet. I mean, I'm worshiping his feet, thinking about what a big deal it is. You know, just the feet of God. Man, the feet of God. You know, making a big deal about it. And he just kind of pushes me back and speaks right to me and says, how beautiful are your feet? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel? How beautiful are your feet? And I thought, I mean, this is just amazing. What an amazing God that here I'm making a big deal about him, worshiping him, and he just wants to turn right around, and he just wants to make a big deal about me. Isn't that awesome? And that really is his attitude. That's how he's thinking. You're a big deal to him. I mean, he calls his church his bride. We are the bride of Christ. And so the Lord is absolutely in love with you tonight. His eyes are on you. He's just kind of gawking at you, gazing at you. He cares about you. He wants to provide for you. He wants to take care of you. He wants to love you. He wants to just bless you. He just wants to put himself, his blessing, all over you. That's what he wants to do. So it's just a matter of realizing that, opening ourselves up to it, and just being good recipients of the love of God. Why don't you just put your arms out there and just say, I am a helpless receiver of the love of God. That's it. That's all I can do is just receive it. That's right. Just receive that love. Hallelujah. Now there's an enemy. There's a devil who's going to lie to us and try to make us feel like it's anything but that. He's going to try to make it feel like God is angry with us, God's mad at us, and that we have to always be trying to prove ourselves to God. But we have to understand that's the voice of the enemy. We got to know that God loves us because his word says so, because the Bible tells us so. That's how we know God. We don't go by our feelings. We don't go by experiences. We come back to the word, and it's through the word of God that we know and learn how much God loves us. He loves you enough to die for you. Yes, he died for you, but he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, which means he would die for you today if it was needful. If what he did the first time and coming and dying for you wasn't enough, he'd do it again. He would do it right now. He'd do it today. If he had to do it, if that's what it took, he would do it. He would die for you all over again. Think about that. How many people would die for you? God would lay his life down for you and I. So we don't want to believe the lies of the enemy who tries to distort the image of God and tell us that God is not for us, God is against us, God's angry with us, and that we're on his bad side because of our bad behavior. Well, God loves us regardless of our behavior. I got news for you. You know, our behavior can get us in trouble. What we sow, if we sow the wrong stuff, we're going to reap the wrong stuff. It doesn't say whatever you sow, that's what God's going to fling back at you. No, it's just that's the laws of nature. There's spiritual laws that are in motions, that whatever a man sows, that's what he's going to reap. But God wants you to reap good things. He has set it up so that you can have good things in life, that you can enjoy a good life. God wants you to have a good life. God's very interested in you having a good life. In fact, he commands us to have a good life. That's his command for us, to live an abundant life, to possess this life of God that he came to give us. He has come, he has given it. Now we got to rise up and take it. We got to possess this life of God. You know, over here in Matthew chapter 11 and in verse 12, it says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. The violent take it by force. You know, the word receive in the Word of God is the same word used here for take. Take. The way we receive is we take from God what He has given to us. He's given it, now we gotta take it. We gotta receive it. And a lot of things that God's given, we have to violently take. We have to violently lay hold of it. We have to battle for it. Not battle in trying to get God to give it. He's already given it. He's given us His Son. He's given us His Holy Spirit. He's given us His whole life. And with Him comes all that He is and all that He has. So He's already given us everything in life, but there's an enemy, there are demon spirits that would try to stand in between us and what God has for us. And so that's where the violence comes in. That's where the fighting comes in. That's where the battle comes in. And we have to rise up and know that we know that we know that God loves us. God has provided for us a glorious, beautiful, awesome life. And we're not going to let any devil talk us out of it. We're not going to let any little imp get in between us and the blessing of God. We're going to rise up and possess our inheritance. But a lot of folks don't have that violence about possessing this kingdom of God, this righteousness of God, this peace of God, this joy of God, because they're not convinced it's theirs. They're still over here trying to get God to do something for them, not realizing all that He's done for them, all that He wants for them. Once you know that He loves you, He cares about you, all that He has is yours. And it's the enemy, it's the devil that's trying to blind you to it, that's trying to get in between you and that blessing of God. Then, oh man, then that righteous indignation can rise up. That faith of God can rise up, and you could take out the sword of the Spirit, begin to declare what is your rights and privileges in Christ Jesus, and then go get the thing. And do not be denied. Do not be denied. I know God is for me. And if God be for me, who can be against me? Now, with that attitude, nothing should intimidate you. Nobody should intimidate you. God's for me. God's backing me up. Are you convinced He's for you? Are you convinced that He's for you, having an awesome, bountiful, blessed, glorious masterpiece of a life? Are you convinced of that? Once you get convinced of it, then you'll violently go and get it. But as long as we're not convinced of it, we're not sure, because we're looking at ourselves, going by how we feel, being moved by our senses, being moved by the things that are seen, like ourselves. That's what's keeping folks from rising up and taking what's theirs. They're doubting. It's causing them to doubt what God has provided for them. But God has given it to us, just like the children of Israel under the old covenant. God had given them a promised land. You and I under the new covenant have now a promised life. He's got an awesome life for you and I to possess. Now, He's given it, but you got to possess it. And we see that under the old covenant. We looked at some scriptures last time about how God has given the children of Israel land. He had given them a certain land. He had promised them. We went through several scriptures to show that. But I want you to see over here in Deuteronomy how important it is, how needful it is to possess what God has given. Again, what's written in the Old Testament is to teach us about New Testament truths. So here, in the same way they were to possess the promised land, a good land, you and I are to possess the good life. The good life. Hey man, I'm not talking about a good life. The good life. The life. Bible says he who has the Son has life, or has the life, literally. Has the life. Somebody say, I got the life. Hallelujah. I got the life. Now, bless God, I'm going to live it. I'm going to go ahead and just take it. I'm just going to go ahead and possess it. The life. Because it's already been given to me. It is legally mine. It's legally mine. Now, notice here in Deuteronomy chapter 1, in verse 8, God says, see, I have set the land before you. We could say, New Testament, see, I have set the life before you. I mean, those folks over there, they're just living the life. Let it be said of us. Let it be said of you that we're just living the life. But again, you got to first start appreciating and esteeming the life you have. Now. Before you can expect other people to begin to look and say, oh, wow, they're living the life. How can you truly live the life when you don't esteem and appreciate your life? Start esteeming and appreciating your life now. Start esteeming and appreciating your life now. And then, glory to God, you'll be able to possess more of the kind of life that God has for you. You'll be able to lay hold of more life for your life. More of the life for your life. Amen. So we got to get out of this. Well, I'm just this and I'm just that. And I just you know, it's been so many years and then I haven't and this and that. And you ain't going to possess nothing. You keep despising what God esteems, and you're not going to be able to take what God has for you. This was the mistake of the children of Israel. They just kept wandering. God's telling them, you're my people. I'm your God. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Rise up, go in, possess the land. You can do it. You're more than conquerors. You're the head, not the tail. You're above and not beneath. You're blessed coming in, blessed going out. Go ahead and take the land. You know what they said about themselves? We're just like grasshoppers. We're just like grasshoppers. They're giants. They're big, they're awesome, they're massive, and the architects and the buildings, it's just huge, it's awesome, it's amazing, but look at us. Look at me. I'm just living in a little tent, and I'm just like a grasshopper. In my sight and in their sight. We're just all a bunch of grasshoppers. They couldn't possess the land because of how they saw themselves. They did not appreciate the work that God was doing in them. They didn't esteem who they were, even though God was trying to tell them who they were. His precious people, his special people, the people that he was willing to split a Red Sea over to deliver. I mean, that should have made them feel pretty important. I mean, they should have come out of Egypt and go, we are the people. Wherever has God, where has God ever done this for anybody? I mean, God comes down on Mount Sinai. He's speaking to them from the mountain. They're seeing the glory of God. I mean, they should have been pumped. They should have thought, man, we are it. We are like the greatest group of people on the face of the earth. I'm not talking about getting puffed up over it, because it's all by God. It's not by their own righteousness, not by their own good works. They understand this is the mercy of God, but oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he cares about me. Oh, how he wants to deliver me. Right? They should have been walking around feeling like grasshoppers after all that God had done. They should have felt like the giants. They should have felt like conquerors. They should have felt like we could take over the world. Give me that mountain. Give me that Jericho. Give me that walled city. Give it to me. God is for me. They should have felt, how many people believe they should have felt that way? Well, they didn't. And that's why they didn't go in and possess what God had for them. So it starts with how you view you. How well do you esteem you? How well do you esteem you? How well do you esteem your life? Man, be appreciative of who you are and what you got. You're a born again, spirit-filled child of the living God. Are you kidding me? You are members of the body of Christ. Even if you are just the hangnail in the body, you're a member of the body of Christ. I'd rather be a hangnail in the body of Christ than be over here with the rich and famous of this lost world. We are members of his body. We are members of the kingdom of God. Come on, you got to get excited about you. You got to get stirred up about you. You got to rise up and say, greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. I am more than a conqueror through him who loved me and gave his life for me. God is for me. If God is for me, I'm awesome. Is it true? When he say that, let me say, if God is for me, then I must be awesome. God is for me, and I am awesome. I am awesome. Hallelujah. Man, I just wish I was better looking, or I wish this, or I wish that. Oh, my Lord Jesus. God's got good taste, and he chose you. So you can't be that bad. I said you can't be that bad. Glory to God, calling you his bride. Are you kidding me? You must be hot stuff. Right? You must be. Now, you might not feel like that sometime looking in the mirror that's on your wall at home, but that's why you look in the mirror of God's word. You look in that word and go, hey. Hey. Somebody say, I got the goods. I got God. I got the goods. I'm beautiful. I'm wonderful. God loves me. He'd die for me. I'm amazing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Come on, we got to get mobilized. Children of Israel, Moses couldn't get them mobilized because they just kept seeing themselves as little grasshoppers. Just a worthless group of people, and better for us to just stay in Egypt and just live like slaves for the rest of our life. That's what we're worth. We're just slaves. Well, apparently not. God just split the Red Sea to get you out of there. He's causing water to come out of rocks. He's causing manna to come out, food to come out of heaven. To take care of you, to provide for you. Apparently, you are worth much more than us being just a slave. You're worth much more. You have tremendous worth. You know how much you're worth? You're worth the very blood of God. The amount, the price that God paid for you shows us how much you're worth to him. It shows our value. The price that was paid for us testifies of our value. You don't pay much for something that ain't worth much. You're not going to pay a lot for something that isn't worth it. But you are worth God. You are worth God. You're the most valuable possessions in all of God's creation. Everything God made, when the demons rebelled against God, when the angels rebelled and became demons, he didn't redeem them. He didn't pay with his blood to rescue them. but he did for you. So you're worth more than anything in the creation. So you deserve the best. I said, you deserve the best. You deserve to be at the top of everything in life. Because you're his wonder. Come on, you're his wonder. You're his masterpiece. Can you say amen? So he says in verse 8 of Deuteronomy 1, see, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give to them and their descendants after them. So he says, go in and possess the land. What do we say today? Go in and possess the life. Go possess this life that God has for you. But notice that. Go in and possess it. Possess it. Does he say it just once, or does he say it more than once? Oh, he says it multiple times. Notice over here in verse 21. Look, the Lord your God has set the land before you. Go up and what? Possess it. As the Lord God of your fathers has spoken to you, do not fear or be discouraged. See, all this discouragement, which is what? Just feeling down about yourself, being down about your life. He says, no, 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 no. Do not be in fear. Do not be in discouragement over your life. You're a masterpiece in progress. God is doing something awesome. Be in faith about it. Get excited about it. Doesn't matter what kind of blotches we're throwing on your canvas today. I didn't see that one coming. Let God take the blotch, even if it's a devil blotch. Devil throws a blotch at you on the canvas of your life. I didn't see that coming. But Jesus walks over the master. Let him do his thing. He'll turn everything around for your good and for his glory. You watch what he does with every evil thing. He makes that. Do you understand? God is a God who makes the enemy regret that he ever messed with you. Because then after the devil does his thing, and God comes along and takes his thing, and does his thing with the devil's thing that was against your life, it now suddenly has become for your life. And has enhanced your life and advanced your life into the purpose and plan of God. So the devil says, why did I give him that green paint? Why did I offer another color on the artwork that God is creating? It makes the devil regret it every time. If we'll just stay in faith, trust in God, everything turns around for our good. Just say, everything turns around for my good and for the glory of God. It's all turning for my good. All of it. Every trial. All the trouble. It's all turning for my good. Even my mistakes are prospering for my good and for God's glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's all working for our good. Woo. Man, we got nothing to fear or be discouraged. Even the enemy's work turns for our good. So why fear any weapon that's being formed against you? Why fear any weapon that's being formed against you? Why be discouraged about anything in your life knowing that it's all working for your good? Because you're submitting it to God. You're trusting God with it. Say, hey, God, look. Look, you know this ain't right. Look what he did again. I trust you. I'm excited. What are you going to do with this? What are you going to do with me through this? How are you going to turn this thing around, Lord, and put me over because of this? I'm going to just watch and see what the Lord does with me. It is good. It is good. Somebody say, I'm in the hands of the master. Look, the Lord your God has set the land, the life before you. Go up and possess it. So he says it again. Notice chapter 2, verse 24. I hit this one last time. Rise, take your journey, and cross over the river Arnon. Look, I have given into your hand Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it and engage him in battle. We want to emphasize that this time. Begin to possess it. My margin says for possess it, take it over. Take it over. Verse 25, this day I'll begin to put the dread and fear of you upon the nations under the whole heaven, who shall hear the report of you and shall tremble and be in anguish because of you. And we talked about how when you begin to possess what God has for you, that's when God will begin to put the fear and dread of you upon your enemies. That's when they will fear you, when you rise up knowing what belongs to you. Let's go over here to chapter 4 of Deuteronomy. Verse 22, Moses said, but I must die in this land. I must not cross over the Jordan, but you shall cross over and what? Possess that good land. Possess that good land. There it is again. Possess. Possess. Chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 18. And you shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, and that it may be well with you. See, that's God's will for you, that everything goes well with you. I'll tell you right now, everything the Holy Spirit is doing tonight in your life is so that everything goes well with you. Isn't that awesome? That's what he's doing right now. Everything he's doing tonight, everything he's saying and working in our life right now is so that everything goes well with you. How can it go well with you when you understand and know that? When we really submit and trust God with that. And that you may go in and possess the good land of which the Lord swore to your fathers, to cast out all your enemies from before you, as the Lord has spoken. How many people know the devil is in trouble tonight? Amen. The devil is in trouble tonight. But notice that. Go in and what? Possess. Possess the land. Jump down to verse 23. Then he brought us out from there that he might bring us in to give us the land of which he swore to our fathers. How many people know he brought us out of the kingdom of darkness because it was a whole lot he wanted to bring us into. God doesn't just look to get us out of messes. He looks us to get us into blessings. He looks to get us into blessings. Notice in chapter 8 of Deuteronomy, in verse 7, for the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees, and of pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing. A land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. Notice that. You will lack nothing. That's the kind of life God is looking to lead you into. A life of no lack. How many believe God can accomplish that? Yes. He can accomplish that. That's what he's looking to do. But he needs our cooperation. He needs us to rise up and possess it. Possess these things. Notice chapter 11. Verse 8, therefore you shall keep every commandment which I command you today that you may be strong. Now right there, the only reason why God wants you to keep commandments is so you can be strong. So things go well with you. God's not trying to rob folks of any fun. He's trying to cause things to go well for us. He wants to make us strong. You know, you keep God's word. You do what you know to do. Follow those convictions of your heart. Be an obedient doer of the word of God. And friend, you will find yourself getting stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. That's what will happen to you. So that's why we want God's commandments. We want to know what he wants us to do. Because whatever he wants us to do, it's always going to work a good thing in our life. He says that you may be strong and go in and possess the land which you cross over to possess. Now notice how many times God is telling them to go in and possess. I've given it to you. 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 But you got to what? Get up, go in, possess it. New Testament. Take it with violent force. Fight the good fight of faith. Wage a good warfare. Don't grow weary in doing good. Be determined. Be fixed on the promises of God and rise up. Know that it's yours no matter what kind of discouraging things try to get in your way. Be convinced of God's word and go in and get it. Do not be denied. Do not back down until you see it established in your life. Until you see yourself enjoying it, basking in it. Don't quit. Don't back down. It's yours. Verse 11. But the land which you cross over to possess is a land of hills and valleys which drinks water from the rain of heaven. So again, cross over, possess it. Possess it. Chapter 29. No. Verse 29. Verse 29. And it shall be when the Lord your God has brought you into the land which you go to possess. Now, I've underlined it in my Bible. Wherever I see possess, go possess, go possess. Because I'm just possessed with possessing. And so he's saying go possess. I mean, it's not just once or twice. And we have to see that. He says, and it shall be when the Lord your God has brought you into the land. That's God's part. I'm going to bring you into the land which you go to possess. God's going to bring you into it, but you've got to have the attitude of possessing it. And how do we possess all things? By faith, which you go in to possess. Verse 31, for you will cross over the Jordan and go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you, and you will possess it and dwell in it. Hallelujah. I mean, how many more times do you have to tell us before we realize this is something we have to do? So in other words, we're not just sitting back, sitting there just waiting for God. Do God wants to bless me? And if he wants to bless me, he's going to bless me. And if God wants to give me something nice, he'll give it to me nice. And if it doesn't work out, well, then that just means God didn't want us to have it. Are you kidding me? That's a lie from the pits of hell. And yet how much that permeates the body of Christ. It has neutralized the church of the living God. If God wants me to have it, I'll have it. If God wants you to have it, are you kidding me? Honey, it's not about if. He has commanded you to have it. He's commanded you to possess it. He has commanded you to rise up and take it. It belongs to you. And you've got to have an aggressive attitude about it. We can't be passive about it because it's a big deal to God that we live a big life. I said it's a big deal to God that we live a big life. So you need to do it. When the disciples came to Jesus, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray, Lord. And he said, well, pray. Father, thy will be done on earth. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What do you mean? Pray that you would experience days of heaven right here on the earth. Is that what he was saying? Sure, and that's what he's always been saying. He's saying it right here in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 21. That's right, it's right here, look. That your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, like the days of the heavens above the earth. Now, I don't like that translation. I like the King James. because it makes more sense. That your days may be multiplied and the days of your children in the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers to give them as the days of heaven upon the earth. Huh? That you'd have days of heaven upon the earth. Father, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God wants you to have days of heaven right here upon the earth. That's the kind of life he has called us to enjoy. Days of heaven on the earth. Are you getting ready for it? Yes. Are you expecting that? Yes. Then don't take no for an answer. And don't ever get discouraged about your life, because we're coming into days of heaven right here on the earth. That's what God wanted Adam to do in the very beginning. Lucifer had fallen, become Satan. Darkness covered the earth. And then God made man in his own image and in his own likeness and put him right in the middle of that, planted a nice garden right in the middle of the mess, and told the man to rise up and subdue, conquer, and bring this earth into subjection. Make this place like heaven. Cause my will to be done in all the earth. Adam failed. But bless God, now we've got the baton. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, we have the authority. And now it's time to cause God's will to be done on earth, just like it is in heaven. And it starts where? It starts right in your life. It starts right in your life. Say, I'm going to live the life of God. I'm going to do the will of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to do the will of God. And live the life of God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you fired up?
Yes.
Then let's rise up. We'll not rise up unless we get fired up. We need to get fired up so that we can rise up and go in and get it. Ha ha ha. A lot of how we go ahead and get it is just in our attitude. It's just in our believing. The Lord's the one that really does it. He calls us to this kind of life, but he's the one that actually brings it to pass. We can't bring it to pass, but he brings it to pass through our violent faith, through a violent attitude of faith that says, no, 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 no. This is how God says it is. That's the way it's going to be. Thank you very much. Dare any devil say differently. Dare any devil say differently. Amen. And you just rise up and tell the devil, oh no, Mr. Devil, your weapons will not prosper. I'm going to have days of heaven right here on the earth. That's God's will for me. Praise God. I'm going over in Jesus' name. The works of my hands are prospering. Even my mistakes are turning around for my good when I repent and turn it over to God. It's all turning around for my good. Hallelujah. Because I'm blessed coming in and I'm blessed going out. Come on, let's rise to our feet and thank God tonight.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org, and you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.